Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. My brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a weird thing, isn't it, that Jesus sends out 72 with nothing on their backs, nothing to take with them, only trusting in the mercy and the goodness of God. It's kind of like Jesus being tempted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights where he had nothing with him, but he knew that God would sustain him. The 72 went out in the same way, not that they would fast for all those days, but that the Lord would provide in his time. And they had stuff to do. They had to preach the gospel. They were sent out to preach the gospel. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that we are always looking for pastors in our synod. And so for anyone here who's ever thought about being a pastor, I should say any male who's thought about being a pastor, there's an opportunity for you to do just that. And I promise it's easier than my residential education. If you've ever thought about being a deaconess in the church, there's opportunities for that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And even if you join the harvest later on, God still blesses that. Right, Pastor King? Our Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to do the Word of God to His people. And there's a lot that goes on with that. There really is. Think of all the things that are necessary, not just to preach the Word of God, but to live it among God's people, and in order to be that Word of God, to be really, truly a Christian, a little Christ, to the people that you're called to serve. There's a lot. We are busy with many things, and we do so many things, and Jesus at the end of this says, all of those things are great, and they don't matter at all, for your name is written in heaven. It makes us kind of think sometimes that maybe there's just not as much for us to do. Maybe I really could sit back at home and enjoy Netflix for an entire day, an entire week, an entire month and not do anything. I mean, I don't really like going outside anyway, so that sounds pretty decent. Maybe it is that we really don't have to tell people about the Word of God because our names are written in heaven. Maybe it is that, well, we can just kind of sit around. We don't really have to care for our neighbor because honestly, we don't really like them all that much. And so to give them what they need or what they want, to take our time, to take our space and give it to them, maybe we don't have to do that because our names are written in the kingdom of heaven. Is that what Jesus is saying? No, of course not. What does he say here? He sends out the 72 and he says, get busy doing what I'm calling you to do. Go out and preach to all the cities that I'm going to go. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. And that one's always striking to me. Whatever house you enter, share your peace with them. If peace is there, it will be there. And if peace is not there, it'll return to you. And boy, howdy, will you feel that. Nevertheless, stay in that house. Eat what's set before you. Preach the kingdom of God. Go out into the streets if they will not receive you. Shake the dust off of your feet. And apparently Jesus even sends them out with power and authority to cast the demons out of people. They got busy. They were sent out for a purpose. They were sent out with a direction. They were sent out knowing that God Himself, Jesus Christ, had given them a real reason to go and do something. And Jesus says to us, even today, go out and serve. Go out and be with your neighbor. Is your neighbor hungry? Feed them. Is your neighbor sick? Take care of them. Is your neighbor mourning? Give them a good shoulder to cry upon. Who, of course, is our neighbor? You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. The neighbor is whomever God places in your path for you to serve. It doesn't just mean your next door neighbor. It can be your children. It can be your parents. It can be your grandparents. It can be your friends your fellow employees, your boss, your employees, if you are the boss, your neighbor is whomever God has given you to serve. A laborer deserves his wages, Jesus says, and we often, translate that according to the pastoral ministry. But I think it's good to remember, too, that the laborer deserves his wages, meaning that your neighbor deserves what it is that God has called you to give to them. And it is so easy to take our eyes and avert them from the needs of the neighbor. It's so easy for us just to say, I don't wanna, or I'm not gonna see it, right? And yet, for some reason, we all agree that there are really tragic other things. For instance, this week we all heard the news about the flooding in Texas, yes? Okay, horrible flooding down on the Guadalupe River. 23 girls went missing from their cabins. And our hearts went out to them, didn't it? I can't imagine anyone whose heart didn't break thinking of their parents getting ready to receive them from camp and finding out that their daughters had been washed down the river. And we felt for them. And yet, when there are hungry and starving people in our midst, in our area, in our life, do you feel the same? You see, when Jesus calls us to do something, he calls us to open our eyes to what the needs of our neighbor are. It's true. We are to go out and serve them. We are to go out, if we're called to preach the gospel to them, to do just that. We are called to give them what they need. After all, we serve as Christ would serve them. If Christ were here, what would he do? And that's what we're called to do. And we so often fail. We do. We sin. We either ignore God, or we do the deed that he's given us to do imperfectly, and thus we fail within that, and so sin. And so what is our hope? The disciples came back to Jesus and they were happy. Lord, even the demons heard and they trembled. They were able to be cast out. Can you believe this? This is amazing. And Jesus, either he's saying, I saw that, or he's saying, I was in heaven and I saw Satan fall like lightning. What are the demons to you? And I kind of like the second one a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, who has all authority and power and commands you to go out and do the work, has the authority and power over the work that you do. And so even as you go out, even as you look around for the needs of your neighbor, and you kind of serve them, maybe it's even half-hearted service, Jesus says, no, this is my service, and I will bless it. And Jesus, when you are looking at someone and you say, I don't want to go and serve, Jesus says, I'm going to use this and I'm going to continue to turn your heart toward me so that you can hold on to these people. I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to make this good. There is a reason that our Lord Jesus Christ came. And that reason isn't for him just to be this greater lawgiver, though he certainly is that. We know this. We remember Jesus' words, you have said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever lusts in his heart after another has already committed adultery with them. You have heard it said, you shall not murder, but I tell you the truth, anyone who hates his brother in his heart is already guilty of murdering him. Jesus is a greater lawgiver than anyone we have ever seen. And we have to hold that, and we have to say, then Jesus means this seriously. And yet at the same time, we also must remember that it is in the Lord's love that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? But that so doesn't mean God so loved the world. It refers back to John 3:14. As the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up, and that serpent is the one that the serpents came into the camp of Israel and bit them and everybody died and Moses prayed and God said, make a serpent, put it on a pole, that anyone who looks upon it shall be saved. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so also the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world, that so is in that way. For God in this way, lifting up the serpent of sin, loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. that whoever looks upon Him, whoever believes in Him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus is sent. It is not just to show us the law, it is to also give to us the beauty of the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ has died for you, and He's died for your sin. What you have done, what you have left undone, Jesus forgives. What you have thought, what you have spoken, Jesus forgives. The Son of God comes, and He has all power and authority to take everything from you, all of your sin, and to make it good, because He gives to you His own righteousness. His righteousness, excuse me, from the cross is granted to you that you might live with Him forever. His righteousness, He does not keep for Himself. He gives it up, and instead for Himself, He becomes that serpent of sin. He becomes, Paul says, sin itself, that He might save His people. That whoever looks upon Him, whoever believes in Him, would be saved, would have everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed come to give us the law, but the law is here in many ways, not just to show us what to do, but to break us, and to bring us to the point where we can say, I can't do this, because you can't. Paul talks about this idea as well in our reading today. You can't do this. You're going to try. You have to try. But we don't boast in our works. We boast in what the Lord has done. We boast in the Lord because He has saved us. He has redeemed us. And He has redeemed our works. And in this way, we are indeed blessed then by God. And in this way, we belong to the Israel of God, namely the church. The church is the true Israel, and we belong to God through this church, not just this congregation, but through the church scattered across time and space, including all the saints who have come before, including all the saints who are even dying now, and all of the saints who will come after us, if our Lord tarries. We belong to the Israel of God. We belong to His people. And as God sent His serpent into the midst of Israel to bite them and to kill them, so does God also sometimes send sin to us that we might indeed be killed, not in the flesh, but in our spirit, that we might know that it is not our works that save, but it is the works of Jesus Christ. Your works are to be done. This is true. We cannot avoid this. We need to get busy. And yet at the same time, we also must say, my works do nothing for me. My works serve my neighbor, and they please God. My works give me nothing but the encouragement to engage in what we call sanctification, that growing in holiness like Jesus. That's what our works do. But they don't save you. But they might save somebody else. For if you go out and preach the word of God to them and they believe, how wonderful is it when they would join the great church of God in Jesus Christ? We do this, again, not because it's our benefit, but we do this because this is what our Lord Jesus calls us to do. And we do it because we are free to do it, that in His cross He has said to us, if your works do not save you, let my works save you. Let me give you my righteousness, that you might give me your sinfulness. Let me give you my works, that I may take your lack of them. Let me take your sin and die for you, that you may know that you are with God Himself forever, for I will never let you go. I have the power and authority to look upon the demons and make them tremble, and I make them tremble even before you, not because of the greatness of yourself, but because your name is written in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.